All right, and welcome to the Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Today is Friday, February 26th. You have made it to the end of the week. Hey, no matter where you are, no matter how you're listening to us today, we always appreciate you tuning in to the program. And boy, do we got some good stuff coming up for you today. It is a loaded day here on the Blitz today. We are sending you into the weekend with style and class. Now, I also got to say this real quick. Before we get to anything else in the show, say we're sending you into the weekend with style. Well, there's going to be a little moment to shine this weekend. We won't have the time to say it. We won't be on air this weekend, but this Sunday, Chance, this Sunday is the birthday of my good friend Brandon Orrick right here to my very left. So we'll go ahead and get that out of the way. We won't be able to do it on Sunday. So, of course, we'll say happy birthday now.
What if I have a great weekend.
Well, what if I didn't want to waste my happy birthday to Brandon right now?
Yeah, maybe he wants to save it till the end.
Maybe till the end of the show, or secondly, maybe just till Sunday, because I will remember.
Sure.
By the way, happy birthday. I wanted to give a public airing.
Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday to the Bear.
Yes.
Yesterday, I forgot to say it on the air. I did not forget to text him, just to clarify. I did tell him on his actual birthday. Happy belated birthday on the air.
Happy 60th.
To Bear.
There you go.
Happy 60th to the Bear.
A lot of birthdays going on right now. And then John is right around the corner as well, right?
It's true.
Very nice. Very nice.
You February and March babies. Nice little gang of you here.
There's a few of us.
I know. All in a little row. And then there's another.
You're about 26, Brandon? 27?
Mm-hmm. 26.
26. Still fresh chicken.
I don't know.
Spring chicken, as you like to say.
I don't know. I feel like I'm getting up there. I feel like I'm not a spring chicken anymore. I feel like it's a late summer chicken.
Uh-oh. Mm. Still cruising around the grass, though. You're still having the time of your life.
Late summer.
They're not coming yet. They might eventually, though. Either way. All right, so that is definitely something fun that's going on this Sunday.
Be sure to
wish Brandon a big happy birthday.
I'm going to go to Nashville.
Nice. You know, see Cody?
Yeah.
Are you going to, like, there's no shows, though?
No, we're just going to go.
Just going to hang out.
Hang out. Have a little fun.
Nice. Wear your mask. I know you're a superhero now, but.
Superhero.
Wear your mask.
So be sure to say what up to Brandon on Sunday. That'll be fun. But until then, guys, we still got a lot of fun things coming up this weekend that will certainly be taking your attention away from other things. So here it is. Here's a little bit of a rundown about what we have to on the show today. Tomorrow, Tennessee-Auburn at noon on ESPN. Going to spend a little bit of time breaking that game down on the show today. We'll also talk about some of the rescheduling that is going on in the SEC world right now in terms of basketball. Talk a little bit about the March Madness tournament, and then we'll flip the script. Brandon, we got a little bit of football to talk about today.
Okay.
You were telling me that Tennessee might have some kind of announcement, or at least some kind of news potentially about the next football game coming up in Knoxville.
They're eyeing a tentative start for spring football, spring practice, and the orange and white game. So we will tell you about that a little bit later on in the show.
Very nice. Definitely excited about that. That will really be the first time that we get to see Heupel and company on field and see what they can do. Now, a lot of people are going to be wondering, what is going to be the quarterback situation? Got a couple of guys on the roster right now. Joey Hasley talked about it in his opening press conference that, hey, we have no rush, you know, to announce the starting quarterback, to work with the starting quarterback. We want to give all of these guys an equal opportunity to show what they can do in practice and then hopefully in the game later on. One of the names that could be added to that quarterback room will be announcing his decision today at 2 o'clock p.m. Central Time. That is five-star quarterback Ty Simpson. Ty Simpson is a name that you probably have heard many, many, many times when talking about Tennessee football recruiting. He is a tremendous quarterback from the great state of Tennessee. He was a four-star pretty much his whole high school career until earlier this week, just a couple days ago, when Simpson did receive his fifth star from 247. So again, that announcement today happening at 2 o'clock p.m. Central Time, so 3 o'clock Eastern Time for all of our Knoxville friends. And Tennessee is one of the four teams that will be on the table. I believe the hats will be down, and it will be Clemson, Alabama, Ole Miss, and Tennessee.
Yeah, we'll, what time's the announcement?
It'll be 3 o'clock p.m. Knoxville time, so Eastern.
Okay, so 3 Eastern.
Number 3 pro style quarterback in the class?
My gut says he goes to Clemson or Alabama. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I heard Ryan Callahan talking with the afternoon guys the other day, and that's what they got on their website too. It's pretty much looking like Clemson, Alabama, and he even was talking about if Tennessee, they'd have still, you know, kind of a fighter's chance, but it'd be a huge upset if Tennessee were able to steal him, especially with Heupel and staff only been on the job for just a little bit over a month.
According to the 247 Sports crystal ball, about 93% Alabama pick, about 7% Clemson pick, and Tennessee and Ole Miss are with the crumbs.
So it'll be an
uphill battle.
It's a little strange. All these guys recruiting him from the four schools that will be on the table. Tennessee, obviously. Joey Hasley and Alex Golish. At Ole Miss, Jeff Lebby is his primary recruiter.
Yeah.
Of course, Jeff Lebby was the OC with Heupel at UCF. For
correct.
His first year. At Clemson, his primary recruiter is Tony Elliott, who, of course, was linked to the Tennessee job. And then at Alabama, his primary recruiter is Bill O'Brien and Jay Graham.
Wow. So even just looking at that right there,
Jay Graham talking that cash right now.
Yeah. If you're looking at Tennessee, Ole Miss, and Alabama, and you're looking at the primary recruiters, this is a guy who's probably been recruited for a very long time, but it's got to be kind of strange to have three out of your top four teams basically going through a little bit of transition period. Now, you know, you're sitting here as a five-star quarterback, top three quarterback in the class, second best player in the state of Tennessee, and just before you're about to make your decision, and I get that this pretty much happens for probably a lot of recruits, but certainly, a couple months ago, he was not looking at the names Bill O'Brien, well, Jay Graham maybe, Jeff Lebby,
maybe
Joey Hasley, Alex Golesh. You know, you probably weren't talking all those names. So it might be a little bit of a weird turnaround here at the very end for a guy like Ty Simpson. These are a lot of new names that I think who are talking to him in the last couple weeks. Who knows? If you're a Tennessee fan, I think you're hoping for chaos in this situation, right? You're hoping that something can dethrone the 100% Alabama crystal ball prediction. We are hoping for a little bit of controlled chaos in this situation. Maybe that's where he finds Tennessee.
Maybe. He also was getting a little McDonald's bag.
Yeah,
before.
I was going to say, maybe Jay Graham took that McDonald's bag from Knoxville, took it down to Tuscaloosa.
They know how to cheat better.
They do know how to cheat better. They
so
do know.
Maybe the bag got a little bit heavier.
Maybe it turned into a BMW or something like that.
Yeah, or, you know, they like the Dodges, Camaros.
At the very least, they're probably not using McDonald's, right?
No.
Hey, speaking of McDonald's, today at 11:15 a.m., so here in about 1 hour, we're going to be talking to one of our own former members of the Blitz.
Fish?
Not Fish.
McDonald's? Oh.
Not Fish. I know. That would have been pretty close. You were right there on pace.
Would have been spot on.
McDonald's?
Logan.
What is that? What does Logan have to do with McDonald's?
The trolling the baseball team has been doing to the football team when they hit home runs.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly where I was going.
Synergy, Brandon. Synergy.
That's exactly right. You know, when they hit the home run, they held up the bag.
I don't think that's the kind of synergy we need around here.
It's kind of taken off, too. I saw Barstool picked it up yesterday. The more and more I've watched them, I'm like, what the hell are they doing? Tony V just don't give a damn.
I think
you kinda
that the baseball team.
It.
Yeah. No, that's why I said I liked it from the beginning. I think the baseball
move.
Team has a little bit of swagger, has a little bit of, you know, hey, we know that we're the underdogs on campus. We know that everybody here likes baseball or likes football more. We know everybody here likes basketball more. But we believe that we are the premier team of this campus. We believe that we are the premier team of this school. I think they have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, and that's what can allow them to even take shots at the university. I feel like they probably do think they're probably a little bit undervalued.
I saw a
I love it.
A tweet. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
Mm-hmm.
About the baseball team. Let's see. Since the start of the 2019 season, so was that what, Tony V's first year?
Yes.
Tennessee baseball is 25-0 during the month of February, outscoring its opponents 226-40.
Golly.
Now, granted, they are playing
pleasant pretty well.
Sure.
Basically, no one's.
Sure, but still.
But still, 25-0 and outscoring opponents 226-40.
Winning in February when you should.
I also don't have the exact stat, but I know that Tennessee baseball is pretty darn good in the midweek games as well. So that'll be something that we can talk to Logan about. Logan, in my opinion, I've always said it, is one of, if not the premier baseball brain of this city. So I can't wait to talk to him a little bit about this Tennessee baseball team coming up today at 11:15 a.m. But guys, aside from that, that is pretty much the main stories we got on the menu for today. Again, let's have some fun, man. We are headed into the weekend tomorrow. We are headed into Brandon's birthday weekend tomorrow. And it's going to be a lot of fun. 865-546-8200. If you want to get in on the show, talk a little basketball, talk a little baseball, talk a little football, or maybe even something else going on this weekend. I don't know. Hey, it's totally up to you. Don't go anywhere. This is The Blitz. We'll be right back after this. All right, here we go, gentlemen, back here on The Blitz, 10:18 a.m. Rick Butler, Chance Collins, Brandon Orick hanging out here with you as we are making our way through the first hour of the show here on a rainy Friday morning. It's going to be raining all weekend. Brandon, we're heading out on the road, too. It's going to be raining on the road. Be careful out there this weekend.
Yeah, I was hoping maybe I could get a little bit of this, this nice weather that we've been having. But,
The big time that you make plans is right when the rain comes back, huh?
Yeah, the rain is going to be unrelenting.
Look at that. Look at the storm.
Oh, nice.
He's showing you his fancy weather app.
Yeah, the $4. Brutal. The $4 weather app.
Brutal.
Yeah, that does just as much as our free apps do. Don't ever forget it, Brandon.
Hey, man, don't forget. Don't forget that you now have this one. But this was a long time ago. I've gotten my use out of it. Even if maybe in hindsight, maybe it wasn't worth $4. I'll never admit it. All right, coming up tomorrow, noon, ESPN, we will have the spotlight game, number 25, Tennessee versus Auburn in Auburn. Let's see. Again, game tomorrow at 12 o'clock noon. The lines have not been put out for this game yet, although according to ESPN's match predictor, Tennessee has about a 75% chance to win this game, although I'm pretty sure to Tennessee fans, that number seems a little bit steep. Brandon, heading into Auburn tomorrow, what's your initial initial thoughts about this game coming up for Tennessee?
Well, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. I don't think Sharif Cooper is going to play, and I mean he's their best player. Tennessee should be able to win. Now, granted, Bruce Pearl seems to be our kryptonite, and they always seem to get up for the game against us. Still, I think Tennessee should be able to win. Hopefully we get back on track and are able to play the way that this team is capable of playing.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it's not a repeat hopefully it's not a repeat of last Saturday against Kentucky where you just played abysmal and didn't even show up.
Right.
But hopefully you're able to improve off of Wednesday where you just kind of went through the motions and were still able to get a win against Vanderbilt. Hopefully we bring it on tomorrow and are able to go out there and take care of business against a mediocre Auburn team.
So Auburn has added two games to their schedule next week at number 6 Alabama and home against Mississippi State. So Tennessee will be their third to last game of the season because, remember, Auburn has a self-imposed postseason ban. You know, so they are not looking at the SEC tournament. They're not looking at the March Madness tournament. Their season is almost over. And I got to tell you, I think they know that. Auburn is 1-6 in their last seven games. They've lost their last two games by a combined 40-plus points. They got drilled by 24 against LSU and then lost by 17 against Florida. I think that Auburn, while still a very good team, I think you can see that here at the end of the season, especially in the month of February, where they really haven't done much of anything except for beat Vanderbilt by 6, Auburn has nothing to play for right now. They don't have their best player who has left the, you know, who is basically ending his season because there's nothing to play for if you're Auburn. You have a team who isn't trying to, you know, advance their seeding, is not trying to advance their rank, is not trying to gear up for something later in the season. I think that this is a dead-in-the-water basketball team. Now, granted, not even Tennessee should be confident against that. But again,
well, they should be.
I'm looking at this team.
They should be.
Should
be.
But we all know. We all know that, you know, we can't always expect that. But again, I know that Auburn gives us problems. I am not dismissing that whatsoever. But I will look at the stats a little bit. I will look at Auburn's recent history. And again, they're 1-6 in their last games, or in their last seven. This is a team, to me, they had a two-point loss to Kentucky, okay. Had an overtime loss against Ole Miss. But man, I don't think that this is a team with really much of anything going for them. Just nothing to play for. Meanwhile, if you're Tennessee, you should have a hell of a lot to play for.
Yeah, I mean, you can't afford, especially the teams that you're going to be, I mean, Auburn's not a great team. I'm not sure what their net is. But, I mean, you can't really afford to lose that game as far as affecting your seeding.
And not to mention, Brandon, we have Florida on the schedule next after Auburn. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Florida and Tennessee are both tied right now for that four spot in the SEC rankings. You're both four games back of Alabama. So maybe, you know, this is still a time where Tennessee needs wins to improve their seeding. Let's not forget, staying at the five spot in the SEC means you now have to play in the second round of the tournament. Getting a top four seed means you automatically get the bye into the quarterfinals. So there is a big difference between getting the five spot versus the four spot. For a team like Tennessee who doesn't really put together consecutive wins ever, well, then if you can give me another bye game, please, I desperately want that for Tennessee.
Well, Florida, and things can change. Things can still move around. I mean, Florida still has three games left.
Right, which is why these are all must wins for Tennessee.
And three pretty difficult games. I mean, Kentucky's been playing better. They got Kentucky tomorrow. Then they host Missouri, and then they travel to Tennessee. So, I mean, that's some ground that Tennessee can make up. Do have some updated bracketology from Jerry Palm.
Okay.
He's got Tennessee as a four seed. Still, I think they were four seed the other day, playing the five seed Oklahoma, potentially, and in Baylor's region now. So if Tennessee can keep winning, maybe, like I said the other day, maybe you can get up to that three line if you go on a bit of a run here. But.
Sure. 865-546-8200. That is just a little bit about what the implications could mean for this Tennessee and Auburn game. And, of course, we're going to continue talking about that and talk about what you need to know on the court. But before we do that, let's head over to the G3 Help Me Hotlines and get a call from our favorite in the Friday feels. Good morning, Phil. Welcome into the show. How you doing?
Good morning, Fabulous.
What's good?
How you, Brandon and Chancellor, doing?
Doing pretty good, Phil.
Feeling good, Phil. Good to talk to you.
It was nice that y'all popped up Barrett Bryant with his birthday again. That's pretty cool.
He's a clown.
You hear him comparing to all the great people birthdays yesterday? And
oh, yeah.
He's acting like he's, you know, one of the elite in America, you know what I mean?
I heard the guy. Hey, yeah, his day 60 is it's a good age, Phil.
Oh, God, we got Buck Pearl tomorrow. You know we're not going to win.
You know, we're sitting here talking about Auburn stanking it up in their last seven games and nothing to play for. But, you know, like we said a second ago, if you're a Tennessee fan, yeah, it might not raise your confidence too much against Bruce Pearl and the Tigers.
Yeah, they're going to press, and we're going to have to try to break the press. And If we break the press, we might beat them. If we don't, we're going to, you know, I'm pretty sure Auburn probably shoot about 33s on top of that.
You know, I would ask if Sharif Cooper being out for Auburn makes you believe that Tennessee is going to have an even better chance of winning this game. But I kind of think back to last game against Vanderbilt when they didn't have Scottie Pippen Jr. and know that that really didn't factor in that much as well. So I'm really desperately hoping that the absence of Sharif Cooper will be extremely beneficial for Tennessee. But, you know, dating back one game, that wasn't really the case.
You know, Brandon made a good point about Florida. They could lose all three of those last games they've got.
Yeah, which we need them to because we need that four spot.
Well, this is going to delay the inevitable because we're not going to do anything this year.
I don't know. I guess you never really want to lose games, but, well, I don't know. I was going to say I'd almost rather drop down to the six. That way you don't have to play Alabama in the next round. But Alabama's not been playing that great. They've not been playing too great recently. I mean, I know they're still, 13-2, 14-2 on the in conference. But yeah. They've struggled. They only beat Vanderbilt by four, and then they lost to Arkansas. So I don't know. Maybe they lost some of their mojo. I don't know.
You know, the reason why we're still a four seed is because everybody else is beating up everybody else all around the country. Everybody's losing games. I mean, Ohio State's lost two straight games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing that I don't know if we've necessarily talked about all too much, but there have been a lot of upsets in the season so far, and there has been a ton of movement, which is frankly why you've seen Tennessee go everywhere from as high as six to as low as 25, because really, if you are moving up, there's a pretty good chance that you're going to move up a couple extra spots just because of all the movement. And if you're going to move down, you might slide a little bit further down because you never know when a team like unranked Michigan State is going to beat number four Ohio State.
Yeah, I think that you got three elite teams. I think Michigan's one of the top three with Gonzaga and Baylor. And the fourth one there, we're going to give it to Ohio State. I don't know who's going to get that fourth spot as a top seed. But everybody else is just it's just a bunch of average to mediocre basketball teams.
Yeah. You're exactly right. You see the class right there at the top, and we've really talked about it a lot. It seems like, I don't know where you want to start it, 3, 4, 5, whatever that number is, all the way to 25. Seems like a lot of those teams can really kind of play on each other's level on any given night, and we've seen that happen a lot. Now, granted, your top three teams – I haven't really lost very much. They're in their own class, all on their own. Tennessee, we've knocked on the door, but we've also moved all the way back to the mailbox at times.
What's all this about you and the drive, Fabulous? What's I hear some more rumbling going on about it. What's going on?
I got to tell you, everybody keeps telling me about these rumblings they're hearing. I have not heard any of these rumblings. We were talking about it before the show yesterday, talked about it on the show, talked about it today. I have not heard any of these rumblings that other people are talking about. What I did hear was my good name being besmirched on that show in the 3 o'clock hour yesterday. So that is why I did not say happy birthday to Bear right here on the show. My good name was besmirched.
Firm hand.
They took my name, they dragged it in the mud. So
firm hand.
Why do we want to keep talking about that show here?
Call him out, Rick. Tell him how you feel.
Well, you was on it last week for 3 hours.
I was on it last week. You know, I had to help my friends. They needed it. And then you know what they did?
They turned around and they besmirched you.
They stabbed me in the back.
They did just like Fillmore did John Majors.
I mean, those old men over there. Old men.
R.P.
Get off my lawn.
King Johnny.
Thanks for the call, Phil.
Yeah, appreciate the call as always. All right, coming up after the break, we will continue with a little bit of this basketball game and go back to our conversation from yesterday with Will Warren, talking about some of these stats that he gave us about the team and about really how they can win here at the end of the regular season. Don't go anywhere. All right, here we go, back here on the Blitz, 10:34 a.m. And let's see, man, we got a couple of good games on the menu this weekend. I know I can't wait for those. Let's see. Anybody got anything excited about coming up from the college basketball world besides the Tennessee game that they're looking forward to? I know looking ahead till tomorrow,
there's
Michigan
been some.
Plays again. Couple yeah. Top 25 matchup between Texas and Texas Tech in the Big 12.
Yeah, Michigan's had a really – I mean, obviously they took those weeks off, and they've only lost one game on the season. They played Iowa last night in a tough one, and they wound up blowing them out at the end. Mm-hmm. Juwan Howard's definitely going to get Coach of the Year, by the way, also, and well-deserved. Then they play Illinois and also Indiana for their next two games. The Big 12 is loaded, man. I mean, Big 10, excuse me.
Well, both.
Yeah, really. I guess they both are pretty nasty, but the Big 10 is – I mean – You're playing a top 25 team every night.
Yeah, I mean, just about. Another game I got my eye on tomorrow.
SEC?
Yep. Mm-hmm. LSU and Arkansas. I really need Arkansas to win that game.
Should be a great game.
Hey, and if you've got your eye on some games this weekend, why don't you add a little excitement to your sports watching experience by betting on all the action with our friends at FanDuel. We keep telling you why we love FanDuel and why it is the number one sports book. The app is simple to use. They've got great odds, as we always tell you, and in all different betting markets. Unique fun bet types like the same game parlay. We told you about that boost earlier in the week. Also exclusive, always on promotions such as enhanced odds boost on the biggest events to let you get more action out of every game day. And if you win, they don't make you wait. They get your money to you, and it's insane. As little as 24 hours, and also very safely. And as we told you, fast withdrawals, odd boosts, and spatial. Range of betting options. Player props, you like those? You got future bets. Find whatever bet you're looking for on FanDuel, and you have loads of options. Live betting as well. That's one of Charlie's favorites. We talk about that all the time. If you find something or a trend you like, hop in there and make you a live bet. Also, the multi-game parlay. You love that? Just a traditional multi-game parlay. Bet a little, win a lot. Right now, FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Just place a bet on any game, and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back if you don't win your first bet. No strings attached. Seriously, there's no strings attached. Just place any bet you want. If you win, keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in site credit. We just told you about some of our favorite bets going on over the weekend. You also have NBA action back tonight was a nice slate of games. I'd say look at the Clippers and the Grizzlies. Clippers coming in as a 6.5-point favorite. I think that's a lock tonight. And another one you might want to look at, underdog. Bulls been playing good basketball. They're playing the Suns as a 6.5 dog. So FanDuel has a lot of bets for you tonight and for the weekend. If you never tried FanDuel Sportsbook, what are you waiting for? Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started, and be sure to sign up with promo code BLITZ so they know that we sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook promo code BLITZ. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 14 days after receipt. Terms do apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for a problem with gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
You know, with the end of the regular season coming up in the SEC world, if you're looking at teams 2 through 5, Arkansas, LSU, Florida, Tennessee, only a game and a half back all of each other. Tennessee and Florida at 4 games back of Alabama, but only a game and a half back of Arkansas. So, you know, we're talking a second ago about how Arkansas's got a big matchup against LSU coming up on Saturday. Somebody's going to drop that game. Then you got a game against Florida coming up next week where they have already beat you once this year. So you need to even up that series. Brandon, you're right, man. There's still a lot of movement that could happen with these SEC standings. But if Tennessee is going to do anything to move up in the rankings, they can only do it by being consistent, right?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to – I mean, like we were talking with Will yesterday, you've got to find a way – you've got to find a way to improve the offense, whether that's taking less mid-range jumpers, taking more threes, more layups. I don't know what they have to do. I don't get paid $5 million like Rick Barnes does. So figure it out, Rick Barnes. This is why we pay you. We paid you for this is the season.
This is it, yeah.
Season's winding down. 2 games left in the regular season. Figure it out. Figure it out. Give us something to look forward to in March. Now, I don't know what, like I said, I don't know what they have to do.
Sure.
But, yeah, and like I said, you got Kentucky playing Florida tomorrow. That's definitely a game that Florida can lose.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if Tennessee, like I said, I want to avoid Alabama at all because I think they are a terrible matchup for us.
Yes.
I don't think we can drop down to the six. I honestly don't want to think about that happening because you're going to drop down your NCAA tournament seed as well. But, I mean, Tennessee can play their way up to the three in the conference.
Right.
If depending on what LSU does. So, this next week, need to root hard against Florida and LSU.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be too hard.
I mean, if you can get up to that three and avoid Alabama in the second round of the tournament, that is key, in my opinion.
Yeah, man. I'm with you there. And going back to a second ago, you are right. This is what you pay. It's what you pay your coach for. It's what you pay the big bucks for. When Tennessee is slumping, but you know it has a good team, and you know it has the pieces that can work together, you got to find somebody, and you got to have the time to put it together. And this is why you go out there and you get those big coaches. This is why you go out and you sign them to big extensions, because you expect them to perform their best right now. So we'll see. Again, Tennessee-Auburn coming up at noon tomorrow. Any thoughts about this game itself, though? We've been talking a lot about the, you know, the future projections of the SEC. What about tomorrow's game?
You want me to give my prediction?
We'll wait on the predictions a little bit, but just kind of last wrap up thought as Tennessee hits the court tomorrow. We don't believe that Sharif Cooper will be out there, but again, that will likely be we'll likely have a little bit more information on that this afternoon or tomorrow morning. But just kind of real quick as we're wrapping up the basketball conversation.
Well, I mean, like Phil said, they're going to press you. So you got to take care of that. Can Victor Bailey Jr. continue his hot streak? I think the answer to that is yes. Like you said, is he gonna will this team and kind of put this team on his back and carry the load offensively? It looks like that's kind of been his MO the past couple games. I think Keon Johnson, he's struggled the past few games. I think he needs to step up. Turnovers have really been an issue for him, especially against Vanderbilt. I think Keon Johnson might have a big game tomorrow.
He's due for one. You are right. He's been down. Only people we've had been consistent over the last 2 weeks. Victor Bailey, Jaden Springer. So maybe I hope they continue to play well too, because I mean, you want other guys to get back in the mix and start playing well, but you don't want these other guys that have been consistently playing well to take a step back. Folky, if he ain't getting it together soon, I don't know what Barnes is going to do when it gets to the postseason with him. Like, he's got to play better. He definitely has to play better. But, yeah, Keon Johnson, I think you're right. He's due for a breakout game. I might change my mind towards the end of the show, but I ain't too worried about Bruce Pearl tomorrow. They're going to handle him. I think they are.
One thing that that I do think about going back to our conversation with Will Warren yesterday is how emphatic he was about how much better Tennessee is when they play Pons at the five. Right, and not having Fulkerson at the five, but putting Pons right there, playing a little bit more of a small ball lineup. Let's look for that tomorrow. Let's see if that's something that Tennessee does tomorrow, because, you know, as we heard yesterday again, statistically, that's your best team right there. Putting Pons at the five, playing a little bit of a small ball lineup, but also we know that when you are relying on your guards, when you know you don't have as much inside presence, got to drive to the basket. Got to be aggressive, or else you're just going to keep pulling up these mid-range, these three-point jump shots. But who's there to, you know, get the rebounds? Who's there to muck it up down low? That is the opposite side of small ball.
Triple J played against Vanderbilt, only had 2 points. Wasn't really bringing it offensively, which I know he doesn't really have to make an impact on the game. But I'd like to see him kind of get back in the rhythm of things tomorrow.
Guys, coming up in the next segment, and again, we still have to predict the game. We'll do that later on today. But coming up in the next segment, 9 years ago today, on February 26, 2012, something happened that would change the sports world forever. Somebody said something that will change the sports world forever. We'll give you that exclusive audio coming up next. Back here on the Blitz, 10:48 a.m. We are making our way through the end of the first hour of the program. In case you missed anything, man, we've had a lot of great basketball conversation in the hour, talking a little bit ahead to the future of the SEC as well as tomorrow's game against Auburn. Tennessee looking for a win against Auburn, which kind of makes me think there have been some great wins in sports history. I think we can all think of a couple that we will probably find pretty similar. But I got to point out one win in particular. This win, judging by the reaction of the individual himself, seems to be maybe the greatest accomplishment in history if you're judging by the reaction alone. 9 years ago today, Brandon, our guy Peter Weber made history.
Oh, Pete.
Do we, and we have the audio, is that correct?
I don't think you, you sent it to me.
I did. On your text.
You always send me stuff through Twitter. Now you send through text. You threw me off. Let me get it.
Throw him off. He tried to throw you off the scent.
Yeah.
It's probably been like 5 minutes. So, Peter Weber.
Whoa. Back up 5 minutes. You could have been like, hey, check your text. I sent it to the text. I'm getting it for you, Rick.
I mean, I sent it.
Got you.
So, Peter Weber, I think we probably know where this one's going, right? Because now you've probably had a second to think about it. You can put the pieces together. Bowling, 9 years ago. You're probably thinking old school ESPN logos and production and things like that. Well, you'd be exactly correct.
It's a great moment in sports history.
It really is. Let's see.
And I don't know if you've ever noticed, but he wins by one point. The strike, he had to have the strike to win.
Yeah. Have you ever gone back and watched like that?
Maybe the greatest line ever.
Ever.
Who do you think you are? I am.
Break it down for me. Break it down. What does that mean when you are screaming that to your opponents at the top of your lungs right after you are the champion?
I think he was screaming to everyone watching. Everyone in the building, everyone watching on TV, not just the opponents. Who do you think you are? I am. Me, Pete Weber.
Saying anything.
I, number five.
Saying anything that you think about yourself, I already am. You think you're a winner? I'm a winner. You think you've won? I have won.
Have you ever looked? This is such a small bowling alley. Like, where is this? There are like five lanes.
People are packed in there like sardines.
I feel like often, don't they, like, they just shut off the other lane?
They just shut off the other lanes?
Yeah, and then just keep
them. I guess that would make sense.
Yeah, they just close them off. Not surprising.
Oh, yeah.
Pete Weber was a cocaine cowboy. He was. He struggled with cocaine in the 80s.
I would have never guessed based on that video, Chance.
Nah, you can tell. He's definitely. He used to, in a 1985 Sports Illustrated article, Weber admitted to spending a four-week stretch on tour in a complete blackout, staying up for days on end with cocaine and drinking a fifth of Jack Daniels every night.
Pete Weber?
Estimated he blew through about $150,000 between 1982 and 1984 on the white stuff, alcohol, and gambling.
Wow. What a life and career for Pete Weber.
I, number five.
Married three times.
Number five.
We pull up his Wikipedia.
Yeah. His wiki's nice. That's where I got a lot of that stuff from. I knew that he struggled with some stuff like that, though, before. I think I was watching, like, an ESPN
from Missouri.
He is. St. Anne. Sneaky old now. He's getting there, 58. He has 48 regional tour finals.
Hmm.
10 majors. I know they have majors in bowling.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah. He's won 10 majors on the PBA Tour and 4 majors on the PBA 50 Tour. I'm guessing that's for the seniors.
You think he's done? Is he done as a professional bowler?
Pete Weber will never be done as still, that video lives in infamy.
I think he's still active.
He still competes?
Yeah, says he's still actively competing.
What's the bowling record for majors? Is he the Tiger Woods of bowling?
Well, he and another guy that I can't find now, Ray Williams Jr., are the only two reach the $4 million mark in earnings.
Okay.
So he's won a lot. Let's see. Majors. Let's see.
Now, here we go.
Yeah, I'm trying to find
Weber him. Is one That's of the sport's lot. Most active players and is known for his maverick, chirpy, and rebellious personality. He is known for being incredibly versatile. His high backswing and the side rotation he puts on the bowling ball helps him control numerous oil conditions. Oil conditions?
You got to grease up the ball in the lane, I guess?
I guess the oil on the bowling lane is different from bowling alley to bowling alley.
He comes from a list of bowlers, I guess. He joined his father in the PBA Hall of Fame in 88.
This is making me go back and look up.
His daddy was a bowler. His daddy's daddy was a bowler. His daddy's daddy was a bowler.
He's a chip off the old block, Chance.
What can we say?
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
He is the Tiger Woods of bowling.
Does he have the most?
By the time he was 24 years old, he had already reached the 10 title plateau, becoming the youngest player in PBA history to reach that mark. At the age of 26, he narrowly won the PBA National Championship over future Hall of Famer Dave Ferrero, giving him all three jewels of the PBA's Triple Crown.
Wow.
Another tidbit about Pete Weber, since we're going to hit in the first hour like this. Pete Weber, in Old Cold Pizza on ESPN before it was First Take, he mentioned he had made the 7-10 split only 4 times. Seems a little low for professional bowlers. I feel like they can do that all the time. But only 4 times in his career. He's a near-scratch golfer and has 6 career hole-in-ones.